Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story Is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, what?
How are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm huge.
Woo!
That is a quote from Mr. Hugh Jackman himself.
Yes.
From Sung Blue. Yeah, a 2025 movie that I had never heard of until you brought it up. I had never come across this movie. And it is quite good.
Yeah, we had seen ads. I'd seen a few reviews kind of saying, oh, this is pretty good. And then it might have been this one podcast where the guy does like 6-minute reviews of movies that just went below my radar. And he really liked it. But anyway, I went, okay. And the library had it in. And so I got it and we watched it and we went, oh my gosh, this is the kind of movie they used to do. It's an interesting story about an unlikely situation. And it's just, it's like a little indie movie, but it's a fun indie movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's uplifting.
Uplifting, yes. The whole time I was watching it, I felt good. Now, part of that might be because I'm from the era where Neil Diamond's career was going on and all over the place on the radio. You drive around, his songs are everywhere. And so every time a song of his was being sung, I knew it. I knew the words. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a huge fan. I'm a bigger fan now than I was then after watching the movie. But yeah, so that was an element for me. Do you know Neil Diamond songs?
Yeah, I know Neil Diamond songs. Yeah, every song in here was familiar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. You got to like Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you knew Suleiman, then that's kind of a deep cut. So
You know what's funny is there was that one song that was in Midnight Mass. You remember?
Which one was
Holy,
it?
Holy, Holy.
Oh, Holy.
Yeah.
Holy. Yeah,
yep.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inappropriately used, I'm sure. reflection on the series.
That's right. It was some good times being had by people montage. Yeah.
Okay.
In a lengthy montage.
Oh.
But yeah.
Well, that way they could get the song in.
You bet. But anyway, yeah. It was good.
Yeah. So this movie is the reason we kind of went, really? I mean, it's got Hugh Jackman. He is huge. I mean, and it's got Kate Hudson, who I didn't realize how many rom-coms she did in the early 2000s and that she had been nominated for several Razzies because of them. And so I just looked at it and went, oh, I don't think I've seen her in anything. I know she's Goldie Hawn's daughter and all this. And she was just amazing in this.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, did her own singing, did her own, you know, keyboards and everything. And Hugh Jackman also was, you know, doing his own thing, but we're kind of expecting that. And but the premise about it's not really a Neil Diamond imitation band. It's a tribute. So it's a Neil Diamond experience. Thunder and Lightning, a Neil Diamond experience. And you listen to them come up with this idea and you go, what is happening? And so it's about two people who do imitations of other artists for these shows that are at the fairs and casinos and where people who are older are wanting some familiar music but live music. And so he runs into Claire. Mike is his name, I believe. He runs into Claire. She's being Patsy Cline wonderfully and beautifully, and he is unhappy with who they're asking him to be all the time. So he's busy walking out.
He does not want to be Don Ho.
Yeah, I am not Don Ho. I have to say, I saw him in that wig and with a shirt and went, wow, I don't remember this part. Oh, because he instantly doesn't do it.
he's like, no. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because people are saying, you know, why don't you you know, imitate Neil Diamond. You kind of got the hair for it. Your face is the same shape, all this. And he's like, oh, no, his music is too important and too deep for me to treat it so lightly, basically. And you're just like, wait, are we talking about the Neil Diamond I know? But he truly loves his music. And I have to say, listening to all the songs that they crammed in here, and they didn't cram them, they all moved things along, but I'd forgotten how catchy his writing was. And I was also humming slash maybe singing along under my breath when there were people. And when I was rewatching it, I was just doing it by myself. Yeah. So basically they are very early on. They're very attracted to each other. They decide they're going to do this together and they get married. And it's really, I found it surprisingly layered. And that's something we can talk about because you're following them in their relationship as this band or this experience is also being developed. And the thing is this really happened. There was a 2008 documentary about this couple and what they did because they were so popular. And it is what inspired the movie. And when we looked it up, the crazy things that happened actually really happened to this couple. So
that's incredible. Yeah.
So that adds another layer. They're not just making it up, but even if they were, it's legitimately good.
Yeah.
Telling the story, they brought out things that, as you said, it's inspiring. It makes you feel good, but it's also got some interesting revelations for me on, you know, music's importance, how people find it inspiring just to perform and etc.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted us to watch it and talk about it.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And I felt all that, you know, it was super inspiring. I was rooting for them big time, you know, and it was just enjoyable. And to know that it was a true story, that's neat. And I loved to see Jim Belushi. Way to go, yes. Jim. He's still around. Yeah. Still at it. He played a great character. Bus. Did good job. Yeah. And so they both are divorcees, you know, so they got married.
Right.
And they both have their kids. Well, one kid and one, Mike has one and
Claire. What's
her name? Claire, yeah. Claire. She has a couple. So I found it refreshing when the two daughters met each other.
Yes.
And it went well. That made me feel really good, you know, because I was like, oh, they're not going to get along. And then, blah, 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 you know, just something we've seen so many times. And they got along. And I liked that. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. And let's just slide right over into spoiler territory.
Sure enough. Yeah, definitely watch it. I didn't even see a trailer or anything. And I think that that's a good way to experience this movie. So,
yeah.
Yep.
We didn't really know, except that we were delighted it really wasn't about somebody who was trying to act just like Neil Diamond. Anyway, so about those two girls, that was one of the things that I loved from the beginning is they're both kind of wary of each other's parents. They don't necessarily, they really don't want to be there at this time when they're both brought together. And, but yet the things they're bonding over are all the commonalities of having parents who are divorced, artistic, struggling with some kind of an addiction or staying off of an addiction. Mike was an alcoholic. He's been clean for 20 years. And Claire, you don't get the idea she was really addicted, but she's depressed, so she's on all these medications, and she doesn't keep close track of it. So her daughter's like, I have to keep track of all this stuff or she could just go really loopy really fast. And one of them says, and I think this was such a great observation, is, you know, if you're addicted to something and you get rid of it, you have to have something else to be addicted to. And for her dad, I believe that was the daughter, said, it's music.
Yeah, it's music, right.
And it becomes obvious for Claire, it's music too. That becomes very obvious later in the movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they were, I love that. And they were really giving to each other. I'm talking about Claire and Mike. At the beginning when they're coming up with this idea, you know, she put the seed in his head, you know, and then, you know, at one point he's like, and then we're going to do this, you know, he was including her And, you know, I just thought that was a really neat give and take. You know, they were each caring about each other, you know, even before it became more. So I loved it.
Yeah, you see the inspiration and the inventiveness that comes from their creativity being expressed through the music and through how do we ourselves sing this song. And it was never said in the way of, let's, how do we do it just like Neil Diamond? But they're playing the music and kind of working out, we know how it sounds, but what do we do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're listening to her to go, when he's like, no, do it like this. Oh, I know just what you mean. And she starts holding this one note a long time, several times through the song. He's like, that's it. Yeah. She's like, yeah, nice. So you see their joy in the way the creativity feeds itself. And something I thought was interesting was, not only do you see that from the artists several times throughout the movie, because they also just take a delight in performing with each other. It's just really wonderful. And I'll just say this now too, I loved the way it was shot and done, so that almost all the time, either you're seeing the delight in each other's performance and what they're achieving, or you're seeing it with a crowd who also appreciates it and likes it, even if they didn't expect to. So the excitement of the crowd is feeding them, and vice versa, as their notoriety and fame arises. There's only once when it doesn't, and that's when he insists in a biker bar on doing what he wants instead of doing what does the audience need, what does the material require. And so,
Open for Pearl Jam, for heaven's sake.
My gosh.
That was so crazy.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
Well, and then, but when that's happening, so that, when you're watching it, also lends to you feeling that. You know, they communicate that really well. But the other thing is there's this whole crowd of people who are like the support team. There's his manager, who's actually his dentist. He's a mechanic. Mike is a mechanic. So he's like, I can't really pay for this tooth that you put in, this fake tooth you put into this gap. But do you need an oil change? Because he's a mechanic. And the guy, Jim Belushi, who kind of becomes the manager, he's actually a tour guide in his bus regular driver. Life. So they're all doing this for the love of what they're experiencing.
Yeah,
these guys aren't necessarily musicians like the Jim Belushi character and everything, but they love the music so much they want to facilitate it and be a part of it.
Yeah, that's great.
And I never thought about the fact there are all these tribute bands all over the place. I mean, we're near enough to Oklahoma where the various tribe nations or whatever have casinos. We are always seeing ads for these has-beens who are listed one after another. It's our big Labor Day show. It's so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm like, aren't they embarrassed to keep doing that after so long? They didn't go on. And I watched this and I went, but maybe everybody's loving it.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
Absolutely right. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's really great. It's a nice observation. But you're right. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes to look at that and say, you know, do all these folks wish that they were doing this themselves, you know? But yeah, you know, Hugh Jackman said, well, I'm not handsome. I think he said, and he said, I'm not, he ended with, I am an entertainer. There was another thing in there. I'm not, he was basically saying, I'm never going to be like that. But I love to entertain, and that kind of shifted the gears in his head. Because, he didn't want to be Don Ho. Yeah, he didn't want to be Don Ho. And he was in a room of people that were impersonating all kinds of people, and everybody in there was happy.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I'm not doing this, you know.
Yeah.
And then this girl, you know, that he has this instant spark with says, you know, have you ever thought about Neil Diamond? And boy, that just started the whole thing. And he was like, I do like Neil Diamond.
He's so good, I could never touch his shoes. Yeah.
And then to think that, you know, then to take that and make this what he made out of it was amazing. Very cool. Yeah. And that's what we all do in the amateur world, right?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, because I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, that's using the creative spark that God put in us all, because we're in his image and he is the creator. And I was thinking, what do I do when I've had my feet knocked out from under me, which there's a big middle part of the movie, which is, oh my, it's Holy very smokes. Difficult.
Yep.
And so she's had that car just run over her in her front yard, which was astounding.
Oh, it took the air out of me. Honestly, I could not believe what I was seeing. No. And that's why I mentioned earlier before the spoilers was, you know, if you watch this, I don't know if they show this in the trailer or just, you know, intimate.
I didn't see a trailer and I'm sure they didn't show it because we were stunned.
We were, absolutely stunned. And the filmmakers did a great job because that wasn't foreshadowed in any way.
Mm-mm.
And that's life, isn't it? That's what happens in our lives. It's like all of a sudden something occurs and, from out of nowhere, and it can be devastating. But my goodness, I couldn't believe it. I'm glad I was like, is she gone? And she wasn't gone. And I'm like, oh, thank God she's not gone, you know? And then,
that also makes me think of when you're saying that, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we got shown the two ways that people react to surprise things like that. In that sense of she, of course, didn't see it coming. She's the victim of this accident. She's lucky to only lose a leg, but of course that's devastating.
Yeah.
And then he has got this heart condition, and it doesn't sound like he ever went to a doctor for it.
No.
He just knew somebody needs to be around when he's like, I could tell my heart's is acting up, and he pulls her daughter, who's like freaking out over the accident. He goes, okay, come in here. You're going to have to do this. I can tell this is going to happen. I'm going to pass out. You're going to have to jolt my heart alive again. And she's like, what? And he's routinely, we'll see him clutching at his chest and falling over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all the time, but you get the feeling that he's like, he doesn't have money to deal with it. He can't stop what he's doing to deal with it. Mm-hmm. He just kind of gets up and moves on again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's ignoring all that.
Yeah, it's a shame, you know, that he can't afford it, right? He can't even afford the dental work.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's just rough. And so that was, you know, foreshadowed throughout the movie, you know. So when his thing happens, we knew it was coming. Yeah.
Right.
But
well, the ironic thing is he has the heart attack, but what kills him is the fact that he hit his head on the sink.
Yeah.
If you look it up, you know, because they're showing him the blood's not stopping and he's kind of.
So he had some kind of brain hemorrhage or something?
Yeah, he had a brain bleed. So if he'd have gone right to the hospital, they probably could have helped him, but the show was happening.
Right.
He's getting dressed for the show. He can't stop that. That's got to happen. I'll deal with this later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the other way that people deal with life getting in the way. They don't stop to take care of that. They just kind of barge on and try to ignore it.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I hadn't really thought about it until then.
Yeah, yeah. But the filmmakers made the right decision. I mean, that was a complete shock. You know,
They
could have showed a near miss or something to foreshadow what was going to happen.
That's what I expected.
But they didn't, you know. And it's just like life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my, you know, gosh, anything could happen. And it's scary, right? But then, you know, we get to see everybody make it through that. And that's what makes it uplifting. Yep.
And it was in a very real way. One of the things I liked about this, too, is Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, they're both trim and fit-looking with clothes on. And we never see them nude or anything. But, you know, he's dancing around in his underwear at one point, getting used to the idea of being Neil Diamond. And you're just looking at his legs going, oh, he is an older man now, and he was never, you know, super fit. I mean, I guess when he was Wolverine, but, you know, you're just looking at it going, that's an older guy's legs right there. And she's at one point, she's kind of in her underwear and they're kissing in the bathroom and everything. And I'm like, oh, look at her stomach. It's not just perfectly fit. And she's perfectly good looking, but she's they're both real people.
Yeah.
And I really loved that.
Hmm.
So I interrupted you.
No, that's great. Yeah. No, I think that's a great thing, you know, what you just said there. I mean, so the whole thing feels very real. It's not, you know, at no time, you know, you're watching the movie and you feel like people are acting. They just did a wonderful job. Everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah. Good. Yeah, and then this road bump, you know, or whatever you call it. It's just getting through stuff. This is a good movie to watch, you know, to just watch people get through it and then return to where they were and, you know, pick up from there and go even higher, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, because she winds up, and it's a funny thing, I thought somehow she might become addicted to pills, but what happened is she was just going into her own reality. The medications, as he said, you know, which one is it going to be? You're just loopy or you're mean.
Right.
And yelling at me. And so the medications were causing a problem. And as she said, her problem with her leg was in her head. She could not be happy. She quit singing. Mm-hmm. And when she goes, and later when she's gone through intensive therapy and been committed and everything for a little while, she comes back and she goes, I should never have stopped my singing. And that's when you realize how it feeds her soul. And he has been doing, to make extra money, karaoke at this Thai restaurant. And that's helped him some, but he's getting ready to give that up because he can't make enough money doing that to support everyone.
Yeah.
But she's come back and with this realization and gone, no, we need to get the act back together. Even if it's just for us, we need this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that thing of, that's why I was wondering, is there something that you have that, like, if, I don't know, things are knocked out from under you, and I've not been ever knocked out from under the way these people were.
Yeah, and neither have I, yeah.
But what is it that you turn to for comfort or distraction that is going to kind of help you be yourself, you know, live as the person you're supposed to be.
No, I hear that. And I would have to say some of the things, well, it's really, you know, books and movies, you know, the stuff that we talk about all the time. So, but, you know, but I'll return to something that I loved, not something new. It would be something, you know, I'm looking at, you know, last time we talked about movies or books we loved as kids. You know, to pick up a Ray Bradbury story or something like that. Just something that, you know, something like that can just put me back in the correct mindset. So
comfort reading, a specific comfort for you.
Yeah. And it is a specific comfort for me. I'll grab a book that I loved in the past and, you know, looking at my bookshelf, something will click and I'll do it. Another thing is, you know, I've always loved audio and, you know, music is one thing. I do like music, but there's a lot of audio that I love that is, you know, a story that was read, like a Leonard Nimoy reading Robert A. Heinlein.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So yeah, well, I'll listen to that, you know.
And I'm kind of, and we're similar enough in this, and I'm sure there are many people who have this because I don't sing and I actually... And I don't turn to this for comfort, but I have found in moments of distress or distraction, if it is my evening to fix dinner because whatever, I, you know, Rose and I both just pick stuff and put them on the menu and go, well, let's do this tonight. And I really intensely enjoy it, even though I might be listening to an audiobook, you know, like you're saying. But I intensely enjoy the activity of the cooking. And I know watching you, you did a lot of cooking when we were there. Yeah. I don't know if you feel that way about it, but you did it so gracefully. I mean, anybody, if you're around Scott, you just get him to whip you up a breakfast on that griddle he's got out there. Or even dinner. I mean, this guy can cook. And but it's kind of the extra, I'm not being creative on my own. It's like them singing all the stuff that they know and revisiting it. It's me going, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. This isn't something I make all the time, but now I'm remembering what it's like.
Wow, there really is something to that, isn't there?
Yeah.
I remember, what is it called, The Best Cook in the World?
Mm-hmm.
What a great, great book that is. Yeah, and, you know, how he was talking about, you know, cooking and his family history and everything. But there is no doubt that when things get kind of hard, And, you know, for us, you know, there just may be an intense period of busyness or, you know, you're just too busy to deal with things. So you're eating out all the time. You're just picking up Wendy's or whatever. And then there comes a day where you're just like, I'm just so tired of that. And then you go to the store, you get the stuff, you know, there is just something about that slowing down and being deliberate and making something. One of my favorite things to make is chili. I love making chili.
Oh.
And that sits all day after you get it all in the crock pot, you know, which takes a minute to do that. Then you get it all in the crock pot, and then I just let it brew for like 8 hours. I love doing that. And it's almost the time.
It's almost
time. We're waiting for a cold morning to give me the green light.
It is.
Yeah, because it's just too hot in the summer. Yeah. So, but yeah, okay, there's just something about that. And you're absolutely
question.
Right. Yes.
Important chili question.
Sure.
Do you put beans in your chili?
I do.
I'm torn on that. I grew up in Kansas and Missouri where, of course, you have beans in your chili. And then I came to Texas where people were like, oh,
yeah
we know what to think of you. And even my children. So I can't. Yeah. I never. But I go both ways.
Yeah,
I like both of them.
Yeah.
But I will say that when I put beans in my chili now, as an effort to make myself feel better, it's always black beans. It's not.
That's fun.
It's not kidney beans.
That's
but
fun.
I'm very fond of that too. So anyway, I didn't mean to just rip.
No, I love that. That's like a big comfort food. But just cooking, like Thanksgiving, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel like Thanksgiving to me has been nothing but pleasant memories throughout all the years. You know. The Cowboys always play. They don't always play well, but they always play. And, you know, there's just something about that holiday that has been, I don't know, just really good for my family and I guess.
Because,
You know, I remember it with my parents and everything. And then, you know, all the times we've done it here at the house and had mostly Trish's people over, you know, Trish's family and stuff. But it's just always been good. Yeah, there's just something about that that's healing.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing, and this is going to sound funny to people, but I think you'll get it, is for me, so those are both kinds of, you know, participation in the creative, whether we're listening or reading, whether we're actually cooking something. And the other thing that I find, and I don't turn to this automatically, but writing.
Mm.
And it's, you know, usually, this is the part that sounds silly, usually it's like if I'm doing a blog post and I'm going, I realize I hadn't reviewed Song Song Blue for my blog. And I went, oh, yeah, I'm going to need to write that. And when I thought that, I was like, it's not that big a deal to review it and it's not all that. But, you know, communicating it just right, I'm going to really enjoy doing that. Even if it's short, I'm going to write it and then maybe change it a little and change it some more until it's just what I want. And so doing things like that, things for the blog like that, which I try to have once a week on there, just something like that, you know, not a big deal, book or a movie or you know, something, those are the minimal bits of writing that I can do, but they absorb me and give me pleasure maybe as much as those two singing a song. And I know when I've worked on a couple of things for our St. Vincent de Paul. I wrote a brochure for us and I did something else. And both times I ran it by one of our Vincentians who was a journalist for the Dallas Morning News and an editorialist. And he going back and forth with me on stuff where I go, the wording on this, I'm like, oh, you caught me. I was trying to get away with it. That's the most akin to what we saw in that movie because I enjoyed doing that with him so much, even though it was just slight stuff, because he understood what I was getting at. And together we got it just right. So when he stood up at the meeting and waved my little brochure around and went, I love this. And I want to give it to every landlord who we go to when we go to see somebody. So they understand who we really are. And I was like, oh, my gosh. That was that feeling of participation in the praise was like the applause that they get. And it's so silly to say because they're such small things, but we can't all, you know, be singers.
Right, right. Yep, it's all true.
And you have a daughter who's an artist, so yes, she must feel that a lot.
She does, yeah, absolutely. Yep. So she's always puttering away in there, you know. But yeah, I know that that's a source of calm for her. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that kind of stuff for a minute, so. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. Mm-hmm. Is that's the go-to.
I hadn't either. Yep. This movie made me think about that, though, because it was so important to their, the beginning of their relationship, but to them expressing themselves and being fully the people that they needed to be with each other and individually. And one of the strongest parts of the movie, I think, is when it's all falling apart, but Hugh Jackman is out there working, trying to keep things going. He doesn't give up on her. He's tempted by drink, but he does not drink.
He doesn't do it. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. His daughter doesn't live with him, but she comes to him and says, I've been hearing from, I can't remember the other girl's name. Mm-hmm. She does live in the house, Claire's daughter. And she's like becomes like a daughter to him in many ways.
Rachel. Yeah.
Rachel, that's it.
And the other Angelina. Lisbon,
but, yeah.
Angelina so, is Mike's
Angelina.
Daughter.
Yep. Yes. And so she says, please just start going to your group again. And he's like, you're not my therapist. And she goes, no, but, you know, or my sponsor. And then the Rachel says, you know, she's busy trying to take care of everybody too, to the point where no one notices that she's gotten pregnant.
That was crazy.
Out of wedlock, yeah. And they're, oh, okay. Well, okay. So he stops and he says, well, then let's talk it through. Here's what the Marines would do. You realize the situation, you assess it, you know, what do you do? How do you want to handle this? And then they start working towards that goal for her. And so they're falling apart. They're struggling, but they're hanging on and they're hanging on to each other. And in a really real way, I loved it.
Yeah. How he was with Rachel was great.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yeah, you know, just, all right, here we go. Let's figure this out. you know, very calm. It's great. Yeah, he wasn't, like, blameful or anything, you know. He just took a deep breath. Right. Let's figure this out together. We're together here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, and then that was, you know, that heartbreaking at the very end. You know, who do you want to help you with this, you know? And she says, I want my mom, right? She's away at the, you know, I don't know what you call that place, but she was committed for a minute.
Sanatorium,
yeah,
probably.
Sanatorium, yeah. Yeah, just getting some intensive therapy, and that was something else. You know, it was almost like we all forgot she was pregnant again, and then there came a time where she's like, okay, I'm back in business, I'm ready to be a mom again, and all this other stuff.
What's been going on?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell her she'll lie?
It's just like she's due in 2 months or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but then, yeah, then you get to see Claire and Rachel together getting through it. That was neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the solution was great, too. You know, pro-life solution even. Right. That's what you do.
Yeah. That's she great. Wanted to have the baby and give it to a couple who would love the baby.
Right. Yeah. Which she did. Yeah.
Yeah. And none of this... I'm sure everyone feels angst and sorrow over those moments, but it was such a good choice for everyone. Mm-hmm. And they only just kind of hinted at it with a couple of expressions and then just moved on in their lives because that's what you have to do.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I loved it. And then onward they went, you know, and now they're going to play a big old room, and they did, but that's when Mike hit his head. Yep.
Well, and the other thing about this movie that I truly loved is it never showed you a gun that it did not fire at the end. Mm. And so I have two examples of that.
Okay.
The first one is he's having his idea about the Neil Diamond experience with the three guys who are going to manage and move the group through this, right? And he goes, and so what I'm going to want eventually is we're going to need a big stage and we're going to need a choir, and we're going to need timpani, and we're going to need this and that, and we're going to start with Suleiman. And they all go, Suleiman? No, Suleiman. I went, oh, I know that song. But he's like, and then we're going to lead into these other things. And of course, you know, he's trying to do it too early in the movie. But at the very end, his dream comes true because people who can't get into the Neil Diamond show and who've seen them and know how much fun they are, they pack that big hall for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to have that as their last experience together. And that's really, you know, many people don't ever get that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, a really small thing I noticed this time around, and I noticed a few other things the first time, but this one really hit me. So this is after he's died and after they've had the funeral. And it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings. And he dies. Okay, ending. Nope. Now we're going to have a funeral. Oh, now we're, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now it's done. Nope, because it's later. Mm-hmm. And she's, Claire is coming downstairs, but first they've shown us the son, and he's on a little TV that they had shown him earlier taping Mike and around the house and doing stuff. And so he had a tape of Mike singing a song that he was, that he had done for the future for his Alcoholics Anonymous group.
Yep.
And so as Mike, and I can't remember the son's name, it doesn't really matter. As he's sitting there watching it, he leans over and picks up a cup of coffee that's been sitting on one of those warmers that you can put your tea on that will keep it warm. And he's drinking his coffee while he's watching him sing this song. And there's some melancholy, but he's also kind of singing along with him and enjoying it. She's coming down the stairs, and what you're primed for from every other movie we've seen is she's going to go, oh, there it is. He was so good at that. Instead, she just walks by smiling and ruffles his hair. So what that means is he does that all the time, and she's around it all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But the thing is, the gun that got shown to us is when Mike first meets this kid, everybody's surprised by this, and he goes, and Mike goes, do you want a cup of coffee? Do you like your coffee black? And the kid goes, I don't drink coffee. And he goes, would you like to start? The kid's like, I don't know what's happening. But at the end, he's drinking coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he learned. One of the things he learned with Mike, right?
Yep. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment.
Yeah, and it's the thing where if it doesn't matter if you know it, but they specifically showed him picking up his cup of coffee. So if you've watched it and you notice that, that's another moment of connection where this is how you remember the people you love.
Yeah.
You know, there's some melancholy, but there's some joy. And there's a few things where you go, oh, yeah, this was their favorite. You know, for Tom's dad, whose birthday was on January 1st, sometimes I'll go, he loved this coconut pie I made. I'm going to make one today for New Year's Day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal, but we all have some. We talk about how much he loved coconut, a few other things, and we go on. So, yeah, I loved those moments.
That's funny. My grandpa Alexander, who Alex is named after, his birthday is January 1.
Oh.
Yep.
Well. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Very nice. Yes.
Easy to remember.
Easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, it's such a good movie. And I didn't know the director, Craig Brewer, I didn't know what else he's done. Have you looked into that at all?
No, but I think we did when we first watched it. But what I remember us finding is that he had worked with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson before.
Hmm.
So he went to them to see if they would do this movie, and they evidently liked working with him enough that they both said yes, because they're pretty big stars for this small film.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, didn't get much play and wasn't appreciated enough, obviously. And, oh my gosh, let me tell you this. We can look the director up and then see if there's anything. But for Kate Hudson, she got this. I think I started to talk about this and stopped at the beginning of this episode. She got a Razzie Redemption Award.
Ooh.
You know, so the Razzies are the awards for, you know, you were so bad in this movie, or this movie was so terrible. Well, so we looked it up, because the Razzie Redemption Award is, oh no, this is truly an excellent performance or an excellent movie from somebody who's either been nominated or won a Razzie before. She'd been nominated for four of them and won one for either the fourth or fifth movie.
Wow.
Like the most recent in 2021. So this was really great. And also, I didn't know this. She was nominated for Academy Award for Best Actress for this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Good.
Because she had a real story arc to do, and she did it beautifully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. So I just looked up this Razzie Redeemer Award. I had no idea. But yeah, she was nominated for an Oscar is amazing. That's really good. And yeah. she was terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, so she won the Redemption Award. She won 2020's Worst Actress winner, but now... She is nominated for Song Sung Blue. She gets a redemption one. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Very neat.
Yeah.
So let's see. Who do we need to wait for? Who do we need to demand a Razzie redemption?
Redemption? I don't know. Surely Carl's not in there, but that's surely. Right.
Yeah, there's no way he's in there.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
That is so funny. Fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the Razzie Award is an interesting award to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too funny.
Yes.
The Razzies. Yeah, who goes to the ceremony?
Everybody who wants to be mean to other people, maybe?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
You know.
That's fun. Oh, goodness.
I had one more thing.
Please.
I don't know if you, I mean, I realize I've done a lot of the talking, but I have seen it twice and it's my movie. So I just kind of,
no,
I just watched it today. So
I mean, I've said kind of what was on my mind and a lot of it mirrored yours, but,
Well.
I just thought it was a very uplifting movie about resiliency and love and music, you know, I loved what you had to say about music, you know, and this, how do you, you know, sort of bounce back from things and these things that we return to. That's really great.
What do you need to thrive, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you need to pull yourself up?
Yeah. Yeah, and to become yourself again, even though these other things are happening, what is your touchstone?
Right.
You know, and we all have things we can turn to that are, you know, just to kind of numb us, eating and liquor and drugs and, or just playing video games without ever stopping. Or, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things we can all do.
Yeah.
But the things that make us come alive and feel again in a good way. This is just, it's just such a great movie about that. Well, and the thing that, one of the things that kind of exemplifies that journey, I think, was when he said, well, he's going to try and make extra money. Somebody told him he could be a karaoke host or whatever at this Thai restaurant. And he goes to the restaurant and the two daughters are interviewing him. And, you know, they're grown women, but youngish. And they're less than enthusiastic when he says, oh, well, you know, I do sing. I had this Neil Diamond thing. And they're like, oh, yeah, Neil Diamond. Okay, well. But the karaoke, and he's like, oh, I can totally do the karaoke thing and, you know, get people doing it and everything. But then the father comes in, and the father's been, like, cooking in the back of the restaurant. He comes in and just is talking to them in Thai. And he comes around, and he's heard him mention Neil Diamond. He goes, Diamond? Neil Diamond? And he comes, he says a couple things to the kids, and he comes around and shakes his hand. And they go, okay, you're going to do karaoke, like, you know, Friday, Saturday, and whatever day. Wednesdays, you can sing Neil Diamond. And it's like, oh. So he's doing that. And it, this is before the wife, Claire, is back out of her thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter, Angela, he said, or Angelina, Angela.
Yeah,
comes,
Angelina, yep.
Comes to pick him up or whatever. And he and the father are sitting there singing I Am, I Said.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about how sad that song was till I heard them kind of belting it out with each other. And I was like, oh my gosh. And especially when they said, the daughters said, we're closed now, don't bother them. My mother died of cancer and she loved Neil Diamond.
Oh.
And this was like one of her songs. And so they're singing. And it was like maybe her birthday. It was her birthday today. And so the father has him sing, they're singing these songs to each other. And Neil Diamond's kind of breaking down and can't really sing the whole time because he's got an ongoing crisis that makes him so sad. And as it goes on, that's the venue they have because he keeps coming back. And so eventually when she says, I'm ready, let's do it again. I want to get out there. And so this is the venue they've got built in. So they're going to do it. The restaurant's full of people because word of mouth spread. Just, you know, the seats are filled. It's not standing room only. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it and singing, and it's wonderful. And they pull back, and he's working the crowd, and they're just loving it. And you realize the two daughters who hated Neil Diamond, they're his backup singers over on the side.
Yep.
Smiling and happy. Mm-hmm. And later, they're all getting together for a big dinner together at the restaurant. And so this is also the thing that brings them together is, you know, those two men shared that bond of sadness. They were able to express it through music, just for even for themselves, but to do it together, you know how it is when you commiserate with somebody. That's just a strength of community and love of friendship and everything. And it makes you friends. And it just showed the binding power of this experience of the music and the way they were able to express themselves through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
When they're singing Holly Holy, I was sitting there just crying. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Midnight Mass or.
I would have cried for a different reason. Because of
oh, that's fun. It was a great show.
Yeah.
And now it has Neil Diamond all over it. Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yep. Let's say that.
Absolutely. Too fun.
No. No. anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and I loved when Eddie Vedder showed up. That was the most crazy thing. No, I don't think it was really.
Okay,
no,
because
he's much older, right?
Okay, that's what I thought. It was an actor, but okay.
But you know, Pearl Jam, it looked like Pearl Jam was on the rise. And I just love that about Eddie Vedder. You know, he's an interesting guy with interesting taste, you know? So he's like, yeah, I want, you know, he seems to have been picking all kinds of things to open for him. So open for Pearl Jam and to pick a Neil Diamond band to do that is not typical, but the crowd loved it, you know? So that was really neat.
Also, he knew the verses. He was a true fan, and you could tell that from the fact that he booked them, but also he's singing it. He doesn't need prompting. And then he's kind of going, come on, you know the words. And I'm like, I don't think they do, but okay, you know. But they're doing their best. It's the chorus. Oh, so anyway, it was just really funny.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was really cool. And again, I'm assuming that really happened. And I believe it. And
that's it for so sure amazing. Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd love to see a picture of that. So, I need to seek out the documentary because I'm sure I would like it. So.
And probably so. I just liked this so much. I didn't want to overlay it for myself with something else, but I bet it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you see the people on Letterboxd going, watch the documentary. And I'm like, I've been there for other things, pal. Oh, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Cannot do that.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. But I don't know that I've seen a movie like this one. But it's, I don't know what to compare it with, but it's well worth your time, folks.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think it in one sense, because the problem is it's the kind of movie that's like The Castle or The Dish.
Mm-hmm.
Not really though. I mean, it's so much more and so much richer and better to me. I mean, I love those movies. We own them.
They're but in the pool room, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But this one goes on the top shelf or the best
shelf. Top shelf of the pool room, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a special honor.
Yes.
Yeah. Too good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, but anyway, thank you for bringing this movie because, again,
I'm so glad another you liked one it.
I really, really liked it.
And I will say this, too. It rewards rewatching with some of the things I was bringing up, but also just, it's just good. You know, so the second time I was watching it, I was like, well, now I know the main things. I'm like, nope, I loved the whole thing all over again. So I recommend it.
Good.
For all those things.
I do too. Yep.
Excellent.
Absolutely. All right. So what's up next for us?
Mm.
We're going to shift gears.
Okay.
And we're going to read this book right here. Fearfully and Wonderfully.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Marvel of Bearing God's Image by yes. Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey.
That is my pick.
That's
and
right.
And I truly loved it.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's and in fact, I just reread it because I said, I better get started. And it just sucked me right in the way it did the first time. So
that's great.
I hope you that's like good. It.
I'm liking it so far. A couple chapters good. In. Very, very good.
Good.
Eager to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I look forward to it.
All right. We'll do that. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
And
Scott.
Yes.
In tribute to your great love of the series Midnight Mass, let's just sing a little of that song, that Neil Diamond song that moved you so much in it.
I'm in. Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. I know you love to do fancy harmony.
Hmm.
Just make it sound more like Hugh Jackman trying to sing Neil Diamond. Almost hit it.
Okay.
But not quite.
Not quite.
Okay. Try hard because I know you're a perfectionist.
All right. Here I go.
Ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Holy, holy, holy night.